Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the IMI Talking Leadership podcast. Today, my guest is Kamala Shaladi, who is a global award-winning digital business transformation expert and thought leader. Kamalesh recently presented one of our facilitated workshops here at IMI, and we had some really interesting discussions around the human side of change. So today we'll go a little bit deeper into some of those concepts. Kamalesh, please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Thank you for having me, Farah. It's a pleasure to join you here today. I have over 24 years of experience in the technology and digital transformation space. I've been working with companies from across the globe in terms of helping them understand the developments of emerging technologies and how they apply within their own organizations and industry structures. I've also authored a book entitled The Human Side of Digital Business Transformation, which has been quite impactful in the market. And it focuses on technology adoption within organizations, but also the impact of transformational change within the business landscape.
It's interesting to hear you say that, Kamalesh, because I'm sure about 24 years ago, most people didn't even know what digital transformation was. And now it's a really important thing that organizations need to consider. And one of the things that you spoke about during our facilitated workshop was how the convergence of technology will be what is really disruptive to industry. Can you tell us a bit more about technology convergence and how it will have an impact on various industries?
Well, emerging technologies have been disrupting the markets over the last 15 years, I would say. And part of the reason is because we now have some of these foundational elements in place, things like unparalleled processing power, unlimited storage capacity, cloud capabilities, as well as rapid adoption of technology among the global users, as well as low cost of technology development. So all of these elements have come together to create a perfect storm where individual technologies such as artificial intelligence, blockchain, virtual and augmented realities, and so on, have accelerated in how they have been developed as well as applied within different industries. Now, on their own, these technologies have disruptive potential across different industries and businesses. However, where I find the creation of the potential benefits and the potential disruptive impacts of these technologies is when we create solutions that converge the different technologies. If I give you an example, combining the capabilities of intelligent responses and data analytics provided by artificial intelligence with the immersive interactions and realistic engagement of virtual or augmented reality spaces, we can create quite a exciting environment for e-commerce or retail, where you could create virtual stores for people to try on products and to engage in an almost real environment with products and services, as well as AI recommendations and intelligent responses. Add to that a layer of trust that blockchain provides, as well as the secure transaction and verifiability of ownership of digital assets. And you create this completely secure and immersive environment where people can simulate real-life interactions in the retail or e-commerce space. So these types of engagements and these types of kind of convergence of technologies create huge potentials for various industries.
Thanks very much, Kamalesh. And I know that that's actually happening already. There are certain stores that are implementing kind of a virtual try-on or a way that you can aim your phone at their website and you'll see the product in your own space and things like that. So I think it's really interesting to see these things in practice and to understand how those technologies are really disrupting the industries. You also mentioned during your workshop that technology can be deceptive and it holds a lot of potential for disruption, and people might not realize that immediately until, I guess, the technology reaches some kind of critical mass where it becomes really important. So can you tell us about the ways in which technology can be deceptive?
We often think of emerging technologies as hitting the world by storm, and this is often described in the Gartner hype cycle. So we have certain types of technologies that create certain hypes in the market. So recently it was generative AI. A couple of years ago, the metaverse was very much in focus for the global business environment. A few years before that, it was probably blockchain. Now, this is rather deceptive because Emerging technologies have been around for a number of years. For example, artificial intelligence research and development has existed since the 70s or even the 50s, where research started in this area. Now, what has happened or what does happen with these types of technologies is it develops under the radar and it grows in terms of capabilities and adoption capabilities across different industries. And it hits a certain inflection point when it suddenly creates a global disruptive impact. A great example of this is ChatGPT. The company that developed ChatGPT, OpenAI, actually has a pretty strong solution already back in 2018. However, the global business community really took notice of it in November 2022, when ChatGPT was opened up for global usage or global users to use the platform. Now, there are a couple of elements that really enable these technologies to hit this sort of global impact or this sort of shift towards exponential growth. And that's really, for ChatGPT, the example was they had a website that was easy to use and natural language capabilities that allowed anyone to, without any training or background in AI, to literally go on the website and start using it. This opened up doors to creating completely new use cases and applications across industries that had never considered generative AI before. And so when we think about emerging technologies, it's often growing and developing under the radar, and it really hits a certain point of disruption when the global market takes notice. Now, what's challenging for business leaders and organizations across industries is really knowing which technologies are going to be disruptive, which technologies are going to hit the market, and how they're going to disrupt your industries. And here I would really encourage business leaders to keep their ear to the ground and monitor a range of developing technologies and really have a close understanding and engagement with various technology leaders or technologists across the globe to really understand what are some of these developments so they're not hit by these disruptions out of the blue.
Thanks very much, Kamalesh. And I guess one of the trends that will be coming down the line to disrupt industries, maybe not a specific technology, but a trend that's coming along soon, is the low touch revolution. And that's something that you mentioned during your workshop that I found really interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So what we're seeing is this trend or shift away from product and physical interactions with products and services towards a low or zero user interface. So we're talking about the growing trend of voice search, for example. But we're taking it a level further where we're looking at brain-computer interfaces that really enable zero user interface as well. So a lot of these technologies are enabling hyper-personalized and flexible and predictive interactions with products and services and technologies. But we're also seeing these new technologies enable the capabilities for people to interact with technology solutions without actually physically having any touch points with them. So one area of growth, and we've heard a lot about Neuralink, but there are many different companies that are really developing solutions around brain-computer interface. And this is, we're seeing a lot of examples in healthcare industry, for people with, health challenges, for example, disabilities or ALS, or people who aren't able to physically interact with equipment or machine. We're seeing these implants of brain-computer technology really enabling them to interact and create a certain level of independence. And so this is an exciting area that's developing, because we're looking at it from beyond a kind of healthcare or medical environment into daily use of some of these interactions. And the metaverse, or the application of virtual reality environments, is one step towards this, where we're seeing an immersive experience being created through the application of headsets, as well as haptic technology, where we're able to touch and feel and potentially even smell the environments, the immersive environments that we're in. I think this is a very exciting space that we're going towards, potentially even looking at applications of some of these technologies in high-risk industries, for example, industries that might be that might have personal safety issues or security issues for frontline workers and so on, where we could interact with machinery and devices, provide instructions to robots or things like that to enable them to execute instructions in some of these high-risk environments. It's a very exciting area. It's still a developing area, so there's lots of potential to work in that area. And I think with certain solutions that we're seeing in the market, it would be worthwhile for organizations to start thinking about how could these technologies really impact their industries and the interactions that customers have with their, customer touch points or with their product and service touch points.
Thanks very much, Kamalesh. I think that when you start deploying new technologies that people might not be very familiar with, there's always some ethical concerns. For example, something I've seen a lot recently is the emergence of deepfake videos and of people on social media, for example, not really understanding that certain images can be manipulated or produced completely by artificial intelligence. So, what are some of the ethical concerns that we need to keep in mind, not just as consumers of technology, but business leaders as well?
This is an excellent question, Farah, because it is a significantly a growing concern for many business leaders, as well as for technologists and influencers like myself, because this is a space where we're seeing a significant amount of malicious or misuse starting to appear in the market. So if we think about last year, 2023, I believe there were over 500,000 reported cases of deep fake videos and voice cases. And of course, we've all heard about the recent case in Hong Kong, I believe, where the CFO was duped into transferring 25 million, through a deep fake, basically a deep fake scam or scandal. And there are many examples as well of deep fake bullying in schools where images of kids in school are being misrepresented or misused, face swapping, lip syncing, and things like that. So it is a concern, but I have to preface this by saying, apart from the traditional route of having strong regulatory environments and compliance policies and things like that, at the end of the day, technology is only as good or as bad as the people who use it. And I recently actually gave a TED talk on this topic around holding technology leaders responsible for the way technology is going to be used or should be used across various industries, particularly considering the fact that these technologies are going to have a transformative impact across almost every facet of our lives. We need to ensure that companies that are developing these technologies, applying these technologies, as well as users that are potentially using them, are going to be using them in a responsible way. Now, having said that, AI solutions like deepfake and so on, they exist in the market. And a couple of things that business leaders need to keep an eye on or need to maybe think about implementing are potentially deepfake detection technologies. So what we're seeing as well is an increase of privacy and cybersecurity concerns where there are fraudulent documents or identity documents or even driver's license being created with some of these technologies, misinformation and manipulation that create reputational damage, fraud and theft, impact on trust. So all of these elements, if you think about applying a deepfake detection technology in your business environment, as well as think about training and education for employees on how these technologies could be used, as well as setting up policies around what companies should be focused on and how they should be applying these technologies or keeping an eye out for these technologies. And of course, cybersecurity audits are particularly important. But a tip that I can give really is, when you're looking at video content or when you're looking at content that you feel I should be aware of, whether this is a deep fake or not, you have to keep an eye on things like eye movement and the eyebrows, the forehead and the cheek, facial hair, for example, trying to identify blinking patterns as well as lip movement. And all of these elements, if you take a close look, the technology still does give away certain elements that you can identify as a deep fake, even with the naked eye. So it's worth kind of training yourself to look at these different kinds of telling points or signs.
Thanks very much, Kamalesh. That's so interesting. I hadn't heard some of those tips about identifying deepfakes before. So the eye movement, the eyebrows, I'll keep an eye out myself, and I hope everyone listening does as well to help identify those kinds of deepfakes. But I guess deepfakes and risks caused by the technology aren't the only things that leaders need to keep in mind when they're implementing new technologies or they're taking part in digital transformation projects. And in fact, I think the majority of digital transformation projects actually fail. Why do you think that is?
So in my experience, and I've run quite a few of these projects, and I've worked with companies across the globe, across industries on developing and implementing transformation projects. And there are a few things that I've seen across the board that have contributed to failures, right? And we have seen the numbers, over 90% of companies are implementing some form of digitization or digital transformation across industries, and this is a statistic from Gartner. And of course, we've seen over 70% of these transformation initiatives fail or fall short of achieving the intended goal. And something I've seen across the board is really an understanding of what is digital transformation. It isn't a new topic. Digital transformation has been around since businesses have used technology, and it's truly the ability for technology to transform the way we do business. But it isn't just about implementing technology. And of course, technology implementation can create exponential potential and, you know, benefits for a company. But the true advantage comes in the transformation part, that is the end-to-end organization transformation or change, to make it ready for this digital future. And application of technology solutions to help transform the business to survive and thrive in the digital future. And so what we're really looking at is companies often focus on the technology implementation part, which is a start and end date, implement a tangible tech solution. And once that's done, they tick the box and say, digital transformation is done. Digital transformation is truly an evolutionary process, right? It evolves and changes over time. As new technologies emerge, your transformation process also continues to evolve. And so organizations and business leaders, particularly, we often find ourselves in conversations about what is transformation, what are the elements of digital transformation, and how do we define it, and how that impacts an organization and what it means for a specific business. That's one element, really understanding what the transformation is. The second element is really the human element, which is what I've written my book about. And I've done that because, or I was triggered to write my book simply because I've just observed how poorly organizations do tend to manage the people side of transformation. That's taking people in your business ecosystem on a journey towards this next future business environment. And oftentimes this is, you know, put down to a simple change management solution or a communication plan that tells people, okay, this is what we're going to do, and that's where we're going to kind of implement tech. But it goes far beyond that. It goes into really understanding the purpose and value that your company is going to drive in this future environment, the digital culture that you want to embed and develop within your business environment. And this things like agility and innovation, as well as the ability to respond quickly to change and disruptions, collaboration, open culture, lots of different elements. And of course, transformational change, being able to manage the change process as you transform and making sure that people are taken on this journey in a environment that provides psychological safety, that shields them from the level of uncertainty that digital transformation can create. So these are some of the key elements, you know, beyond the traditional issues of project management, delays, costs, and all of that. There are these important elements that can make or break transformation success.
And how do you think business leaders can really encourage the mindset shifts that are required to successfully implement digital transformation projects?
The mindset shift has to start at the top. You know, you can do kind of transformation initiatives bottom up in an organization, but they have limited impact. True transformation comes top down It has to start from the vision, and it has to start from the leadership team really embracing change and understanding what that future organization structure should look like. So I often work with leadership teams on digital mindset coaching to help them embrace change. The number of times I've heard, you know, C-level executives or board members say to me, this is how we've always done it. This is how I understand business and it shouldn't change. So it's a limiting mindset. And I believe that there are certain traits or characteristics leadership teams need to embrace in order to lead future organizations, which I've detailed as well in my book. One of that is abundance thinking. So thinking outside of your current business environment's limitations. As an example, if you're thinking about expanding your business into different regions, traditionally, companies would have to have a physical presence in these different regions. You would have to look at expanding, you know, just within your own business environment. And this can be quite an expensive endeavor. Today, with the access to digital platforms and online channels, an organization can truly gain access to a global marketplace overnight. This comes with, you know, its own challenges and advantages, but you really have this unlimited business environment, this global business environment that organizations can access through their online channels and embracing these sort of changes, right? And another example would be competitive landscapes. Traditionally, companies would be competing with peer companies in their own industries that are of similar size to them. But as we've seen, digital companies, you know, digital startups have grown significantly or are able to grow very quickly through embracing some of these new technologies. And they create a new competitive landscape. They're also able to cross over. So tech companies, for example, are entering different industries, financial services, healthcare, insurance. They're crossing industry boundaries because they're able to. And they're not limiting themselves to specific industries. And so the competitive landscape for a traditional company has completely transformed. And so leadership teams need to embrace some of these abundance capabilities that are enabled by the digital landscape and drive their own mindset shift towards that. Once they are able to embrace the mindset shift, they're able to lead by example through the organization and enable people within the organization to truly also start thinking beyond their current limitations.
And Kamalesh, finally, just to end off, do you have any tips that business leaders can keep in mind to try to cultivate a culture of innovation to help them thrive in the digital landscape of today?
So one of the things that I've observed quite a bit, and you know, there are many different kind of elements to the human side of transformation and the psychology behind digital transformation, which I do present quite a bit on, is there are many elements, but one of it really focuses on the risk of failure, right? So there are significant number of studies that demonstrate people are more afraid of failure then they are motivated by potential of success. And so what this means is people tend to embrace a risk-averse approach in an organization environment, particularly if they've observed other people who have, you know, taken a risk and failed and been reprimanded for it within the business environment. And we do see this quite often in a traditional business environment. And so what companies can do or leadership teams can do is really create an environment where people are able to take calculated risks and able to embrace innovation. A big part of emerging technologies is this exploration or experimentation, the ability to try and fail and try, learn quickly and try again. And so embrace this sort of innovation cycle and allow people to explore and not have the repercussions towards failure as you would traditionally have in a business environment. And this would be one area I would say, you know, try to focus and see if you can make a difference in an organization to embrace innovation.
Kamalesh, thank you so much for joining us on the IMI Talking Leadership podcast today. And thank you to everyone for listening. You can subscribe on SoundCloud or on your preferred podcast provider to ensure that you don't miss an episode. Until next time.
Thank you.